Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
It's time for your March Madness fix.
Fox, baseline, up for the shot, good, off the glass, the game is over.
Gonzaga, the slipper still fits.
It's over, Michigan has won a national championship.
I got a feeling.
Holy mackerel, holy mackerel.
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
The shot, yes,
the shot by Tate George, wins it.
Williams could tie it with a three. He does. Oh!
Smart takes the shot.
Oh! Indiana wins the championship.
So now Valpo's going to have to go the length of the court.
All I need is a miracle.
It's to Jenkins. It's to Drew for the win.
Gone.
Oh!
They did it.
Bryce Drew
did it.
Valpo has won the game. A miracle.
One shining moment you knew.
Wittenberg. Oh, that's a long way.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Yes! Kamara gets it ahead. Cooper out in front of everybody. Gets it to Katie Dunn. Her shot is up. No good. And the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame have won the national championship.
It is 8 minutes after 5 o'clock, and Budweiser's weekday sports beat is on the air on 960 AM WSBT, streaming live at WSBTradio.com, and on our free WSBT Radio app. We even have the Twitch app up and rolling, a video feed of our studio. And in that feed, you will see Eric Hansen, the Hall of Fame writer, publisher, a Swiss Army knife of the InsideNDSports.com website, covering Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network.
I'm the executive chef of our website.
Yeah, you kind of are, right? Now, if you just wore a cool hat, you know, while you were editing online, that would be pretty cool. You need a good hat. In fact, I have a suggestion. Sometime you should try a video chat.
Well, we kind of do that with Football Never Sleeps.
Yeah, you
sleeps.
Do. That's true.
That's true. Kind of a video chat because we do take questions.
You do take questions.
And we take compliments. If you want to get on the air, that's the way. Especially if you make fun of Tyler and compliment me.
Oh, that's the real way. Okay. Duly noted. We now have broken the code.
Which is hard because I'm usually the one that needs to be made fun of.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's Eric. I'm Darren. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday, March the 27th of 2024. 2 hours of sports beat coming your way. Eric with me for the first hour of the program. We're going to talk about Notre Dame injuries and spring practice in our opening segment. Later on, we'll discuss the wide receiver position at Notre Dame that got maybe a little more interesting today. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We have our sports beat, InsideIndySports.com, Twitter question of the day, the results from yesterday and today's question. Also, the South Bend Tribune's Anthony Anderson's going to hop on the program in the 6 o'clock hour to talk some Notre Dame women's basketball. I have my National League predictions today. We went America League yesterday, and I was really hard on my favorite team and my predictions. So we'll get to those coming up in a little bit, and our sports wagering segment wraps up the program here on WSBT Radio. Let's get the program started with our opening topics. And Eric, we begin with Notre Dame football and the Irish dealing with some key injuries on each side of the football. You could argue two of the more important players on this Notre Dame football team are on the sideline right now. Now, this is old news, of course, but this is Eric's first chance to talk to you about his thoughts. to Riley Leonard undergoing a second right ankle surgery to deal with a developing stress fracture, which means, I think for anyone to say fairly, he's out for spring practice. Maybe we see him at the tail end, but I'm not banking on that. If he does, surprise, a good thing. Otherwise, I mean, considering the surgery and considering how long this has been going on, it just feels like spring practice is the least of his concerns at this particular time. So let's begin just how you feel about this, Eric. I had a question about this on Twitter earlier this week. Are you freaked out? Are you concerned? Are you worried? How do you put into perspective when you heard the news and what it means going forward for the quarterback position?
There are positives for the team and some negatives for the team with this. The positives are it really gives you a chance to develop the other three quarterbacks, especially the two younger ones. Kenny Minchie and C.J. Carr are going to get a lot more reps. In fact, today they got all the reps because Steve Angeli was sick, so he wasn't at practice either. So those two got a lot of reps. Where it's a detriment is you start to be, I think, if Marcus Freeman's timeline is correct, you're going to still have plenty of time to form chemistry, learn the offense, and all that kind of stuff. But you're not doing it in the context of spring football. You're doing it in summer workouts. You're doing it in fall camp. And you're definitely pushing back the timeline of when you can name a starter. Because I think even if you're as coaches that you think Riley Leonard is the better option, the team needs to see that. They need to see that play out on the field. You don't want a divided locker room, and you want to be, you know, really sure about it. But, you know, it's unfortunate. Again, if that original timeline, if he's 100% by the end of April, even if they don't bring him back to do anything, if he's just, you know, cheering his teammates on in the blue gold game, that's fine. But if this is something that lingers into July, for example, like Deion Colsey last year, when he got hurt, he had a knee scope. Oh, I'll be back in the middle of October. It was December. So you just never know. Now again, it's different parts of the body, but you know, I mean, this ankle thing has been going on since September.
And you wonder, did Duke do him a disservice by getting him back out on the football field?
Well,
it could
I
be
think,
debated. And I mean, he was out quickly after his surgery at Notre Dame, too. He was out there moving around.
Well, and I think that was his choice, too. I mean, he wanted to come back and play for his team and help his team. And so, I mean, some of that was, you know, Riley wanting to be a good teammate and stuff. So and he's competitive, and so we'll see. I mean, I think it's, you know, easy to say, oh my gosh, this could go on forever. Well, guess what? I mean, the good news is you got really talented 2-3-4 right now. As I mean, somebody asked me on my live chat today, can you remember 1-4 this much talent? And I mean, even when you had Jimmy Clausen and Dane Crist at the top of that, you didn't have four deep. So I don't remember. I mean, I would have to think long and hard about when there was 1-4 like this.
With the situation we have right now with Leonard on the sideline, you look at it this way. You got Mike Denbrock as your offensive coordinator, a veteran guy. And I've said this a couple of times this week, but if we had a second-year offensive coordinator dealing with this, I would be a lot more concerned. But right. With Mike, been there, done that, it's going to be fine. Yeah. The other part of this that's encouraging, and you started to go down the path a second ago, if this happened a couple of years ago, I'd be more freaked out because of the lack of quarterback depth and overall quality, even at the top of the depth chart.
Yep.
But now you touched on it, And Jelly was out sick today, so Kenny Minchie was running the number one offense, and Carr moves up to the number twos. Marcus Freeman has changed the complexion and the direction of Notre Dame quarterback recruiting, and it is showing at this particular time. I think there'd be a lot more concern in the Irish nation if this happened a couple of years ago, knowing what you had behind the starter. But now you've had a glimpse of Angeli, and you feel pretty good about that, and you've heard great things about Minchie, and you've talked about you think C.J. Carr is going to be a tremendous player here at Notre Dame. This just feels totally different. And again, I trace it back to Marcus Freeman putting a stop to mediocre handling of quarterback recruiting. And now look, you're getting in premier transfer portal talent, and you're getting premier high school talent into the program, something that was not happening the previous years before Marcus took over.
Right. I mean, you've got Deuce Knight in the next class. Oof. Then you've already had most of the top 2026 quarterbacks already have visited Notre Dame at least once. And there was at least one of them there today. So you're getting the very top of the top showing interest in Notre Dame football, which, again, is where Notre Dame needs to be if it's going to compete for a national championship. They need to be elite at quarterback.
Beyond what I just said about not being panicky or freaked out about where we're at right now because of the depth at the quarterback position, I will say this. It may be more frustrating or disappointing, but this is missed opportunities for Riley Leonard to continue to learn the offense, build chemistry. And I know you can do that in Hawaiian shirts and shorts in the summertime, but this is...
It has to be Hawaiian
yes,
shirts.
Yes, of course.
Though. Okay.
But this is a bit of a missed opportunity and a chance to continue to grow and to continue to show what he can do as possibly the starting quarterback for this football team. We have spring practice for a reason, for everybody to get better.
Absolutely.
And this is truly a missed opportunity. Now, when we get to August 31st, first game of the year, if he's the starter, he's going to have enough time
yep.
to work with these guys. But I do feel like learning the offense, and he's not a complete quarterback at this time, the miss reps is a little concerning. But again, I think we feel good about Angeli being around just in case something happens down the line.
Riley Leonard was at practice today. He had one of those knee scooters, so he came in on that. Then he was on crutches, and he did throw a couple passes. So.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Hey, there are cameras there. You know, you gotta show what you can do a little bit, right?
Yep.
Off-balance throw on one foot, not a problem. Not a problem at all. But we have touched on the opportunities for the other quarterbacks, and this is – you don't want it in this – situation with Riley Leonard being hurt. But Eric, even a guy like C.J. Carr, who's the furthest down the food chain at the quarterback position, I mean, worst case every day at practice, he's working with the threes. So he's going to get opportunities to get better in practice. And who knows what's going to happen in spring practice. Like today, Angeli being out, everybody moves up a spot. So these are golden opportunities for these guys to continue to grow, and a chance for Gadooly and Denbrock to put more eyes and more information into their brains as they continue to prepare for, who knows, down the line it might be their shot.
Contrast that to Brian Kelly's first spring as head coach. He comes in, Dane Crist is coming off major surgery and actually was months ahead of schedule, or he wouldn't even been in spring. He has to talk 17-year-old Tommy Reese into quitting his basketball team and enrolling early. And then the other option was Nate Montana, who
only
by
one
Brian
person
Kelly,
believed in him.
Yeah, right. By Brian Kelly not elevating him beyond third-string status resulted in a cold war between Brian Kelly and somebody else. But
And that person wouldn't do a national interview with me at halftime.
Is that
because
right?
of the Cold War, yes.
Okay.
He did not want to talk.
So, I mean, and there's been some other springs like that. So this is really Notre Dame can really take advantage of this opportunity. Gino Gadooly looks like he could still play. So maybe if he colored his hair, he could sneak in and into the offense if they really needed him.
So if there's any Irish fan that's a little freaked out right now, don't be. Don't be yet.
Right. Don't be yet.
Don't be yet. Now, if Riley enters fall camp with still injury woes with the ankle, then we have a reason to have a different conversation. But right
about
now,
Riley Leonard, but I still think you feel good about the talent on this team at quarterback.
And that might play into the Twitter question of the day.
Okay.
In just a little bit. Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you, Sports Beat on WSBT Radio. The other injury note, Benjamin Morrison, the outstanding cornerback for the Fighting Irish, entering his junior campaign. He is now done for the spring, but it was an arthroscopic shoulder surgery that sent him to the sideline. This is a kid that played tremendous football last year after an All-American freshman campaign. Again, I go back to him denying Marvin Harrison the football in that Ohio State game. He was spectacular in that matchup. This goes into a different category. This is kind of cleaning up of a shoulder, so hopefully it won't be a problem going forward. This is a guy, Eric, that is understands the defense. His techniques and his talents are in a really good spot. So this is a young man that can withstand missing 7 or 8 practices in the spring. This kid's in a really good spot.
He is, and Notre Dame's cornerbacks are in a really good spot. I realize that, you know, again, the first practice people read and heard that there were walk-ons getting some reps down the depth chart, and that's because a couple of Notre Dame's cornerbacks aren't yet on campus. But Notre Dame has 9 cornerbacks when you count nickel Jordan Clark.
9 times.
And I think if Notre Dame felt like this was going to be a longer-term injury than what it sounds like, we would have seen a different alignment today in practice. We would have seen Christian Gray and Jaden Mickey on separate sides. They were still competing with each other, and Clarence Lewis moved up and was taking Ben Morrison's reps, so, which is typically Ben Morrison is on the same side as Clarence Lewis. They play the same position, so I think they feel pretty confident about this. Again, with injuries, you'd never know people ahead of schedule, behind schedule, but I think they feel pretty good about this.
Okay, so that's a little update on some injuries involving this Notre Dame football team. So when Eric and I call the Blue Goal game on April the 20th here on WSBT Radio, we won't see Benjamin Morrison, and I would say it's a greater than 75% chance we will not see quarterback Riley Leonard, but we're still going to have fun with Angeli and Minchie, and oh yeah, that CJ Carr guy is going to be playing kind of in his first Notre Dame football game. Yeah, it's a scrimmage, but still, they're wearing gold helmets, so it counts in my world.
Okay.
All right. Next up, let's talk some Notre Dame women's basketball. The Irish in the Sweet 16 after beating at home Kent State and Ole Miss. What stood out about the victory over Ole Miss, who came into the game with a reputation of a team that can really hurt you with their interior post players? But, Eric, did that zone defense that Neil Ivey installed, was that something that took away some of the strengths of that Ole Miss team?
It did. I mean, Ole Miss still out-rebounded Notre Dame by 5, but the zone just absolutely thwarted Ole Miss. And they were a team with a lot of size, a lot of depth. They couldn't wear Notre Dame down. They couldn't get them in foul trouble. They couldn't make outside shots, which they haven't all season. They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams and least prolific three-point shooting teams. They don't force the issue. They're like, yeah, we're not good at that. And so they couldn't – and they are one of the best teams in getting teams into foul trouble and getting the free throw line. But they couldn't get their dribble drive. They didn't have their driving lanes because the top of that zone was so sticky – with Hannah Hidalgo and either Sonia Citron or Anna DeWolf up there. And then Nat Marshall did a heck of a job in the interior. So did Maddie Westbeld. And Notre Dame just took that game from the start. I mean, they absolutely punched Ole Miss in the nose. And it took them until the fourth quarter for them to really – try to put together a run, and they could never get the lead back under 10. So hats off. I mean, that was an impressive performance by Notre Dame, and they deserve to go to the Sweet 16.
Where they will play in Albany, New York. I've called hockey games in that building, and it's not very spectacular. I'm kind of disappointed. I feel like the women need to be in a better, classier building than this, because there's two regionals there.
Yeah.
This was the place, if you remember a couple of years ago, the Irish scored the game-winning goal with a half a second left on the clock, and then there was a 20-minute review because the game clock and the TV clock were different, and they were not in sync with the green and red light, and it was just chaos. So I'm hoping things are a little better this time around. But yeah, it's not a great building, so I'm kind of disappointed, but who cares? The Irish are there. They'll take on Oregon State in a 2-3 matchup. The Beavers coming out of the Pac-12, and this is a team, Eric, that came out of a really good Pac-12. I mean, USC, Stanford are quality basketball teams. What's an early read on the team the Irish will face Friday at 2 o'clock on Live 99.9?
Well, I mean, there's five Sweet 16 teams from the Pac-12, the conference that's going bye-bye.
The Conference of Champions, as Bill Walton would say.
Oregon State, there's a lot of interesting things about that team. One is they've recruited well. They have two sophomores that are McDonald's All-Americans. Tamia Gardner, who's 6'3 and shoots threes. Reagan Beers, who's 6'4, was an All-American, not on the first team, but second and third team kind of All-American. One of the best shooters in the country, shoots 67% from the field, not an outside threat. So they have some size. They have some talent. They are not a transfer portal team. They are not built on the portal. They are homegrown team with their star players, all recruits. Notre Dame is largely the same. I mean, they plug some holes with the portal, but they are an outstanding defensive team. They're eighth in the country in field goal percentage defense. Shoot threes like crazy. Their Achilles heel, where Notre Dame really has to attack them, is with pressure. They are one of the worst teams in the country in turnover margin. Everything else they are really good at, but they don't force turnovers, and they turn the ball over too much. But they will get in your face and make it difficult to shoot. They just don't turn you over. So it's really going to be interesting to see the effect Hannah Hidalgo has on that team with her drives and also with her ball pressure. Now, they're not going to be able to sit in a zone for very long against them. They're going to have to mix up the defenses against Oregon State, which could put you into foul trouble.
Eric, is this truly the first game that might cause problems for Notre Dame because of how short their bench is?
I mean, both of the first two games had the potential for that, and Kent State actually did get Notre Dame into foul trouble. Notre Dame played a lot of man in that game, and they did have some foul trouble. Possibly, I mean, I think Westbeld and Marshall are the two that you worry about because you don't have replacements for them. At least if one of the guards gets in foul trouble, you've got K.K. Bransford, who plays a lot, so you have a spare part. Actually, K.K. was the one that was getting fouls on Saturday or Monday. It can. I mean, I think more if they win this game, and they are favored to do so. They're a 3.5-point favorite. If they have their rematch with South Carolina on Easter Sunday, that's where, whew. I mean, that'll be interesting. I would have loved to seen that game just to see if there was any difference with Kylie Watson. I mean, that's – you can already feel her not being there, but Nat Marshall played a heck of a game. I mean, career high, she's doing career highs in minutes, new career highs every game. She was at 35, but 5 assists and 0 turnovers. Those are little things that you get from a player making her first starts of her career. Mm. So that was big. But I think Notre Dame, especially if their guards can kind of control this game, I think, can neutralize the icky stuff. It's just when you get to South Carolina, it's like,
that's a different.
What do you take away? I mean, they're good at everything.
You hope they miss.
The only thing they're not really great at is free throw shooting, so you hope they miss ones. But they're playing Indiana, and they're 16-point favorites over them in a Sweet 16 1-versus-4 game.
It's tough to wager against South Carolina at this time, especially the way they scrapped against LSU. I mean, they can handle themselves in non-basketball situations, too.
It was funny. I got a text from a friend of mine that doesn't follow college basketball, at least women's, that close, and he was like, who do you think's going to win the women's bracket? And I'm like, oh boy, this is a hard question.
All right, Eric and Darren with you, 5:32. One more opening topic. So if you've listened to this program through the years, and I apologize, of course, for all the times that we talk about our favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals, but they're in the same division as the Cubs, so it comes up in conversations. So we lived through a miserable 71-win season last year. First time being under 500 since 2007. I mean, that's a remarkable run. But boy, did it end with a thud last year. And the Cardinals' main problem was lack of quantity and quality of starting pitching. I mean, it was a disaster. And as we go into my question, I'm not quite sure they're going to be that much better off. So let me ask it this way.
Okay.
Tomorrow is opening day for Major League Baseball. The Chicago Cubs are, I think, across the board, more people are saying they are the favorite to win the National League Central, while our St. Louis Cardinals are a bit of an enigma at this time. What do you expect out of St. Louis this year?
My expectations are that I'm glad that I signed up for my free MLB TV subscription through T-Mobile.
Okay.
So I did that.
You have to pay for the garbage is what you're saying?
So that's the extent of how invested I am in St. Louis. That's how confident I am that I'm not going to have to get real invested. I invested nothing to get free to watch them on TV. I just don't have confidence in the front office. And honestly, I'm not crazy about the manager either. It's like, really? That guy got another shot?
Just, I want to say this really quick. Don't mean to interrupt your rant that was building.
Okay.
But the next time someone on the Inside ND Sports message board starts ranting on the coaches and stuff, I'm going to remind Eric that he's just here ranting on ownership and management right now. You sound like an Irish football fan on a chat.
Well, I mean, if Notre Dame had the same record as St. Louis, I would expect that. Or yeah, same winning percentage as St. Louis. I think
it's
that's
a proud franchise.
That's fair. I mean, when they're, you know, I mean, there are times they're going to playoff games and people are upset with them, but
well,
but I need to be convinced. I need to be
convinced.
That's
fair. Yeah. That's very fair. Well, I have very low expectations for this year. I'm a diehard. I was watching every game, even in September, when they were atrocious and had no chance of doing anything. So I'm really invested, and I'm just absolutely disappointed that this proud franchise has gone from being the franchise that outsmarted a lot of teams for many, many years to becoming an absolute disaster in decision-making. And it's just hard to understand how you go from one extreme to the other. They said, well, we had to try something different this year with starting pitching, so they signed Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, two guys who have not pitched well in years, which makes zero sense. Sonny Gray made sense. But I know this is an argument that is not fair, but it's being kicked around by Cardinal fans. The fact that Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn were signed for $24 million, and you could have Blake Snell for $32 million or Jordan Montgomery for $25 million. that just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So I'm extremely disappointed, and I think
me for nothing.
That's right. I think it's going to be a long year again. I really do.
This is probably, I mean, people are probably bored to tears listening to me talk
about
this.
Oh, Cub fans are laughing, thinking, ha, 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 yeah, they're going to stink again.
But this is normally how invested I am in the Cardinals. I'll watch tons of their games on MLB TV, and I would have paid for that. I will go to a couple of games in a summer. But beyond that, I not only know all the stats for the Major League team, when I'm invested, I know all the minor league guys at every level, who the guys are that are really good at every level. I look at those daily when I'm fired up about baseball. I don't even know who had a good spring other than Victor Scott II, who almost didn't make the opening day. Okay.
I'm just out of my mind frustrated at this. I feel like a Cub fan pre-2016. The frustration, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? All right, at least we have an awesome theme song, which is the sponsor of SportsBeat, Budweiser.
All right.
It's the bottom of the eighth inning at Busch Stadium. You hear this. Budweiser, the king of beers, locally distributed by United Beverage Company of South Bend. Sports fans, this Bud's for you. We are also brought to you by Bethel University's Adult and Graduate Studies. Visit betheluniversity.edu/solidground for details. First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner, First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. Midland Engineering Company, beginning their second century of quality roofing experience. Bethel University Athletics, sign-ups for youth summer baseball or sports camps are underway. I got baseball on the brain. Visit bupilots.com for details. And Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with three locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. The Notre Dame wide receiver position, it's very interesting this spring, and is a guy that I thought was going to be a difference maker on special teams. Could he also impact the receiver room? We'll have that conversation and more coming up in just a moment. He's Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett, and this is Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and the free WSBT Radio app.
Notre Dame football coverage continues now.
What's the score?
Nothing.
Who's winning?
The Bears.
Co-hosting this hour is the publisher of InsideNDSports.com, Eric Hansen.
He batted Chad Clay. He batted Sugar Ray. He batted now who that? You, the new boy had Mike Tate look like a bulldog. He batted him too.
Here's your host, Darren Pritchett.
I don't know who that is.
.544 at WSBT. So we've been on Twitch now for a while, live in studio, and oftentimes when I leave the room to go edit something, I'll put "be right back" up and the screen is black. Well, I left it on during that last commercial break, and Shorty has mentioned on Twitch, you boys talking about the great Willingham years during the break? Must be, because there's lots of laughs and yawns.
I was up really early this morning.
I was too, but no, we were not laughing about the Willingham era. I played for Eric an old Cardinal broadcaster, Mike Shannon, soundbite. So that's what we were laughing about at that particular time. But that's a good guess. That would make sense, actually. All right, let's get to some wide receiver conversation. Eric, I want to just start with a soundbite from Marcus Freeman recently talking about the wide receiver position. Last year they had a lot of slot guys. Is this a more balanced wide receiver group?
Yeah, I think, you know, each guy has probably a natural skill set. Hey, am I a slot guy? Am I an outside receiver? The ones that are versatile are the ones that are going to have opportunities to help you at multiple different positions. And that's what you see with a guy like JG, you know, Jaden Greathouse, is that his skill set was probably, as he came in, built to be in a slot But he had enough skill set to help us on the outside. And so Faison right now is probably more of a slot guy. Jaden Harrison is more of a slot guy, you know, and some of those other guys are taller, longer, JT, Jaden Thompson, so those guys. But again, the more depth you have, the more opportunities you can say, okay, hey, if your best skill set is to be in a slot, stay in a slot. Okay, but at the same point, the more versatile you are, the better opportunities you have to play.
The Irish do have some good options in the slot at this present time. One of them is a pretty good lacrosse player in Jordan Faison. But the outside, I think, I need to be wowed a little bit. I want to ask you about one player in particular, Eric, because I sort of labeled him when he joined the Irish, and I'm talking about Marshall transfer receiver Jaden Harrison. Based on his stats at Marshall, he didn't seem like he would be an impactful guy at wide receiver, but his special team return ability is electric. He could definitely impact the Irish on special teams. Based on what you have seen so far in fall camp, what do you see from Harrison, and is there any chance he might have been a tad bit underutilized at Marshall? Again, we don't know the depth chart at Marshall. I'm just speaking in generalities.
Well, I mean, in the one practice that we saw, the entire practice, which was way back on March 7th, his speed stood out. Now, again, you're not tackling, you're not, you know, a lot of the drills are designed for the wide receivers to shine over the defensive backs, but you have some really good defensive backs on Notre Dame. So I was impressed. I'm like, ooh, this is a little bit better than what I expected. And so he's kind of that whole vibe of better speed in the wide receiver room that you're getting. So the thing is, he is at a position where there are a lot of good options. You mentioned Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, and then Logan Saldate will be coming in June. So there are a bunch of good slot receivers, but I am impressed. I'm intrigued to see if he can be more than he was at Marshall as an offensive player.
Hmm. Interesting. Very interesting guy. I think he's going to be fun to watch on special teams, no matter what happens at the wide receiver position. I'm going to ask this question, and I'm going to say to Irish fans, it's still way too early for a definitive answer. So I want to be fair. With that being said, from the small sample size, and again, a small sample size of seeing the wide receiver room, can you argue that the 2024 wide receiver group has the potential to outplay the 2023 group? And we lost a great player, Enrico Flores Jr., to the transfer portal. I think he could have been an impactful guy the next couple of years. He's gone. They brought in new people. So based on small sample size, are you convinced at all that this year's group will be better than last year's group?
If they're healthier, yes, just by showing up. But I'd say the area where the one position where I want to be a little bit more convinced is that field receiver, which is a really important part of opening things up for everybody else. So who's at the field receiver? You have Chris Mitchell. He is the transfer from Florida International. You have Cam Williams, a near five-star freshman wide receiver. The guy that was kind of lighting it up today was K.K. Smith, the kid from Texas that was a three-star recruit that was injured all of last year until the bowl game. And
forgotten.
Then, yeah, ran on the field in the bowl game, and that was about it. And he was back doing some return work, punt return work today too. He ran out with the ones today. It was just interesting to see him because he's got a burst, but we need to see that against, you know, in competitive periods, which we will later in the spring. We'll have a chance, the media, meaning us, we'll have a chance to see a scrimmage before the blue and gold game, where we see more competitive periods. But yeah, I like the numbers, and I know we're going to talk about another player that could further dial up the wide receiver room here in a minute. But, yeah, I like where this is headed. I want to see more.
We're getting short on time, so let's just go to where you were heading down that path. I think you were talking about a freshman wide receiver who continues to catch everyone's attention during spring practice, and that is?
Well, that was Micah Gilbert, and the other place I was going to go is running back Jeremiah Love playing some wide receiver today. And Dylan McCullough was asked about this. We talked to the wide receivers coach and the special teams coach and then players from those groups today. So that's who was on the docket today. And so it was timely. Why was Jeremiah Love taking some wide receiver reps today? And the reason is Mike Denbrock thinks that he was underutilized as just a running back, especially with all the other running backs they have. He is one of the most dynamic speed players on this team. So why? And he wants to learn those receiver skills. So instead of saying, just go run a go route, teach him the nuances of playing wide receiver so that when you maybe have two backs in a game and he does split out, he is a mismatch even for some cornerbacks, not just for a linebacker or somebody, but even for a cornerback. That intrigues the heck out of me. And the fact that Jeremiah Love is on board with this, I think it's really interesting. If you remember when Mike Denbrock was here last time, he liked to do those spring experiments. And the best one ever was CJ Procise moving to running back, because that was supposed to be, let's take a look and move him back to wide receiver. He never moved back, and he had a 1,000-yard season and ended up getting drafted by the Seattle Seahawks.
Mike Denbrock is back. Quarterback position is intriguing, and the wide receiver room has some electricity. This is going to be interesting.
It can all be undone or enhanced by the offensive line.
I was just, you stole my thunder. I was going to say, if the offensive line comes together and who is healthy at the tight end position, this could be, as they say, very interesting. But the offensive line is a massive piece and a massive question. And you know what? I would say we had the same uncertainty about the defensive line the last couple of years, and it turned out great. So maybe this ends up the same way.
I'll tell you what, the defensive line is deep.
Beasts.
Yeah, there's a deep.
Cross depth. And Mills back. Good luck to
you. And you think about the guys that are coming up behind them. I mean, when Tyson Ford is a fourth stringer, you've got some depth.
Probably a starter in a lot of places, actually. Don't go to the portal. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. He's Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. Read all about Notre Dame football from Eric and Tyler at InsideIndySports.com. Next, our sports beat, InsideIndySports.com. Twitter question of the day. Results from yesterday. The question centered around Riley Leonard. Today's question centers around Riley Leonard, ... That's coming up next on WSB.
This is the Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat Twitter question of the day from Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
All right, 5:58 at WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett. He is Eric Hansen, the publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. Covering Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. And we have a sports beat, InsideIndySports.com Twitter question of the day to talk about. First, the results from yesterday. So the day before, Monday, I asked, are you freaked out about Riley Leonard needing another surgery? Are you concerned? And concern got 39% of the vote, or worried got 39%. So I followed that up by asking this question yesterday. 39% of people who voted said they're not worried about Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard undergoing a second surgery on his right ankle. What is the biggest reason why you voted that you're not worried? Okay, so I was kind of curious to see why so many people were not worried. So Eric, I offered these four choices. Choice number one, there's plenty of time before game one August 31st for Riley Leonard to get healthy. Choice two, Steve Angeli is the backup, and by saying that, I'm assuming people are confident in his ability. Choice three, the overall quarterback depth, or number four, I said other, and I asked them to specify why they voted that way. So before I give the results, how would you have voted?
I actually did vote.
Okay.
And I voted for quarterback depth.
Okay. Well, coming in fourth is other, 1.4%.
I wouldn't have voted for that because I would have had to specify.
Well, David said he voted that way because it's all going to go to blank anyway.
Oh, okay.
So he's very negative about.
David's having a bad day.
He did. Bobby said Angeli looked really good against Oregon State. What if he's the better quarterback? Oh, hold on. Dramatic.
I don't even know who that is.
And Tim said Riley Leonard isn't as good as Angeli, would be backing him up anyway. So that's why he voted for other.
Okay.
So there you go. So that was fourth. Third in the voting, 19.4%, Steve Angeli is the backup.
Okay.
Second place in the voting, 21.5%, Eric and that group went with quarterback depth.
Okay.
And according to you, the voter, on Twitter X, if you voted, you're not worried about Riley Leonard needing a second surgery. What's the biggest reason why? 57.7% said that first game is a long way away on August the 31st amidst the 12th man at Texas A&M.
You know your branding has gone bad when everybody has to refer to your product and include the old name of the product, Twitter, X.
Yeah.
Nobody calls it just X.
I feel like I'm just trying to bring the generations together. Those that know Twitter and those
to.
That call X.
I there's nobody that calls it X other than the person that named it X.
Elon.
Yes.
Or whatever his name is.
Well, his name now is going to be Y. We're going to name him Y because why did you do this? And it's the letter after X.
So this is kind of like Prince using a symbol
exactly.
as his name. Mr. Musk is going to be now known as Y. I'll let him know, and I'm sure he's going to be very concerned. And because you gave him this great idea, you might get a Tesla out of the deal. Who knows?
He's going to say, I don't even know who Eric Hansen is.
All right, here is today's question. In capital letters, if, should I do air quotes? If, and hopefully this is not the case, if Riley Leonard continues to have injury problems, can Notre Dame make the 12-team playoff with the ticket of Angeli, Minchie, and Carr? Yes or no? Would you like to play or pass?
I'm going to play.
Okay.
I had to think of my answer.
I feel like I'm on Password Plus right now. Super Password. Go ahead, Betty White.
I actually watched the new Password that Jimmy Fallon's
yes.
on. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay.
You need Betty White, though.
Yeah, you do need Betty White.
She was the master.
She's no longer with us.
Yes, of course.
We'll have to have a seance
I'm fully
to
aware
have her
of that.
Participate.
Okay. I mean, Charlie Chaplin, is he available? I don't know.
Okay. I said yes. I think their chances are better with the Riley Leonard that I think Riley is going to be. But I think between those three, I like the talent and I like the offensive coordinator and I like a lot of things about this team. If you could guarantee me that the offensive line was going to be top third offensive line in the country.
Oh, I'll take that.
I'd feel pretty good about this team. Because the defense is going to be very, very, very good.
I'm going to read a couple of responses already.
Okay.
From this question. I know you got to go here. Tony says he voted yes. Honestly, I think there's enough talent and the defense is good enough to make the playoffs with any of them. Carr would be more difficult being a true freshman, but he's looked solid. Marvel added a twist to the question. The question was, could they make the playoffs with Angeli Menchie Carr? Marvel says make versus win. So he's saying, all right, make the play, but can they win a playoff game? So that could be the next step in the question next week on our Twitter X.
We just keep going on with the question.
Of the day.
And then if it's a full moon and winning a playoff.
We're going to drag this out until the solar eclipse.
Until Riley Leonard actually comes back. And then we'll have a different set of questions.
They need to have practice during the eclipse. When it gets like isn't it supposed to be 90% dark during the day here? That would be cool to have lights.
I think they moved the practice. They were going to practice on the 8th. They've moved it to the 9th.
Okay. I think that would be cool to practice at noon in the dark with lights on. That'd be kind of snazzy. It'd be like playing summer baseball in Alaska. Is it summertime it gets really dark there quick?
No.
Is it the other way around?
The other way around.
Okay.
Yeah,
no.
It's
never mind.
It's almost always daylight in Alaska in the summer.
So if you're curling outside in Alaska in the wintertime, you're going to need lights at 1 o'clock. Something like that. All right, enough of this mischief. Let's play the music, which signifies Eric is going to tell you about his product that he's very proud of. InsideIndySports.com, covering Notre Dame Athletics as part of the Rivals Network.
And tomorrow, when I have the code, we'll actually go back to offering a free 30-day trial. So, tune in for tomorrow, and we'll give you the code. But right now, we have my chat transcript up from the live chat earlier today. Tyler James has a notebook from Notre Dame running backs coach Dylan McCullough. So if you want to read a little bit more about the Jeremiah Love getting the look at wide receiver and what Dylan had to say about that. We've got that. We got all kinds of videos from Aeneas Williams, Jeremiah Love, Marty Biagi. We have video highlights from practice today. And we have our last podcast. We had Hannah Hidalgo as our guest, the star of the Notre Dame women's basketball, one of the stars of the Notre Dame women's basketball team. And Darren, you know what? There's always much, much more.
That's always the best part. We will see you tomorrow at 5.
Sounds good.
That's Eric Hansen from InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett. The conversation continues in a couple of moments. Anthony Anderson from the South Bend Tribune is going to stop by and talk a little Irish women's basketball on WSBT. .6:15 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT. The program continues on this Wednesday evening. I'm Darren Pritchett. Coverage of the men's Sweet 16 comes your way Thursday and Friday right here on WSBT Radio following Budweiser's weekday sports beat. Also on Friday on our sister station, Live 99.9, coverage of the Irish women's basketball team. They're in the Sweet 16 as a 2 seed in Albany, ready to take on the 3 seed Oregon State. Pregame will start at 2:15, opening tip at 2:30 again Friday on our sister station, Live 99.9. Anthony Anderson has covered the Notre Dame women's basketball program for the South Bend Tribune for many years now, and he's probably looking forward to see what Hannah Hidalgo has in store for Oregon State on Friday, and he joins me here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Anthony, first off, it was good to see you over in Elkhart earlier this year. Our paths have not crossed in a while, so it was good to see you, and thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and I certainly enjoyed that Mishawaka team and your son and all his teammates. That was a fun team to see occasionally.
Absolutely. Appreciate that compliment. A fun team, no doubt about it. Well, speaking of fun, holy cow, Anthony, we knew Hannah Hidalgo was going to be pretty good, and as someone that covers the program and knew about her in high school, I'm just wondering from your perspective, has she blown you away how good she has been, one of the best players in the country during her freshman campaign?
I thought she'd be a little better. No, I mean, she's incredible. I mean, she really is. And you think about the fact that two things about her, she probably is, I don't know if she's going to win the award, but she probably is the best defensive player in the country. And you're talking about that, about a player that's 5'6", and a player that scores 23 points a game. So then what's that mean about her overall value? And then just the energy she brings, it's beyond contagious. She is a blast to watch. And, I don't think anyone could have reasonably expected this, but Neil had said all along that she was going to have an immediate and huge impact, and obviously she has.
I would imagine, Anthony, that every opponent atop of the scouting report is Hannah Hidalgo, and it just seems like watching her play that the only time that she has a bad offensive day is when she misses shots. She is so difficult to contain.
Yeah, she can fall into shooting slumps, but she often breaks out of them over the course of a game, even when she gets off to a bad start. But overall for the season, she's still shooting. I'm sure her net is well over 50%. She's a good free throw shooter. But I like what the Kent State coach said. She's constantly like a kid at recess on a sugar high. I mean, you can't calm her down. I mean, even in zone, she's helping in recovery. I mean, she's incredible, and just her instincts for stealing the ball you can't teach a lot of what she's doing.
And her instincts in passing, that pass from half court that spun perfectly, I think, to Citron for the layup, going through traffic, that ball just perfectly went to Sonya with a little spin on it. I mean, that stuff, I'm not sure you see in many places, but I think that's just a sign, Anthony. This young lady is as confident as any player you will run across.
Well, there's no doubt the confidence is as high as it can be. The fearlessness is as high as it can be. And I can't imagine her. She's going to, but just as she continues to get better.
Before we talk more about this year's team, since we're talking about Hannah, let me just throw in this question. It's probably hard to answer, but obviously there's going to be Olivia Miles healthy next year. And I look at Hidalgo and Miles. They are two alpha guards. They love to have the ball in their hand. Having them in the same backcourt with one basketball, is this going to be an easy transition? Do you think there could be a little time to make it all work because they are both so good with the basketball in their hand?
Well, I've been asked that a lot, and my opinion about that is that there's going to be no problem whatsoever because, like you say, they're alpha, but they also have extraordinary basketball IQs. They both appreciate playing with good teammates. They will both be even better when they get more rest. So when one's in the game, that's your point guard. When they're both in the game, if you need to define a traditional role, I think Olivia's the point guard. Hannah's a little better shooter, and Olivia's probably a little more of a Hannah's a better creator or as good a creator in transition. Olivia's probably more so in half court sets. I just think if they're both on the court, partially because Hannah's the better shooter, that Olivia's the point guard. And I can't wait to see the two of them together and hope it materializes.
Anthony Anderson covers the Fighting Irish women's basketball team for the South Bend Tribune, joining me here on WSBT Radio. I know it's kind of an NBA thing. We have nicknames like the Big Three, for example. Notre Dame has their Big Three in Hidalgo and Sonya Citron and Maddie Westbelt. With this roster being torn apart by injuries, Anthony, how about the importance of those three carrying the load each and every night?
Well, they all play well 75% of the time or more. But I think the game against Ole Miss was the best that they played collectively all season. So, I mean, they're peaking at the right time. And I know it goes deep farther back than this, but right now their combined scoring average, you think about all the great duos and trios and beyond that Notre Dame's had, their combined scoring average right now is the best in the last at least 25 years.
Really?
It probably goes further back than that, but those are the most complete stats, yeah. They're at 53-something, I think, right now, 54-something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're sensational. And again, they do it with efficiency. They're all over 45% from the field overall. They're all at 35% or better on threes. They're all good free throw shooters. Sony's a tremendous free throw shooter. So it's not like it's volume, you know, at the expense of something else. They're just great, and they play great collectively, and they find the hot hand. So yeah, they're pretty special together.
I asked your old friend Eric Hansen this question last hour, so I'm going to run it past you. Knowing all the injuries this team has and how short the bench is for Neil Ivey, is this the game, maybe the first game, that the bench being so short could affect them, or might it be the next game against South Carolina?
Well, I think any game could be that game, again, because they're so strapped in that regard. South Carolina, if they get there and South Carolina gets there, that will obviously be the test. Oregon State does have reasonably good depth, but everybody they play right now has better depth than them, so it's not anything unusual. The depth is not an issue unless there's foul trouble. And Oregon State does not press, so I don't think this would be one of the games where if they lost, that would be the reason. So I think they're okay in that regard. That doesn't mean they're going to win the game, because Oregon State's awfully good themselves. But I don't think that the only reason they would lose because of the numbers would be because of foul trouble. That is the only reason, I think. I don't think Oregon State's a particularly a test that, you know, is in that regard. But again, they're awfully good.
You just take a look at Oregon State. They come from the Pac-12, and they've got five teams in the NCAA tournament as that conference makes its swan song this year. And you've got teams like USC and Stanford atop of that particular conference. So Oregon State, Anthony, has played some really good competition this year. For Irish fans who have not seen Oregon State play, do the Irish match up well against them? Is there something that stands out about Oregon State that Neil Ivey has to be concerned about?
Well, they're really good inside. They start with Reagan Beer. She's a third-team All-American, and she's 6'4", and she's strong, and she's thick. And then they've got another big player in she's not a post player, but Tamia Gardner, she also offers size, 6'4". So I think they're going to try to hurt Notre Dame inside. They have decent speed on the outside. They're thick and big inside. They're tremendous on defense. They're top 10 in the country in two-point percentage. They're top 30 in three-point percentage. I don't know their net, but, I mean, based on those two figures, I'm sure it's top 20. And, they're going to be formidable. And like you say, they're in that Pac-12. They were 1-6 against USC, Stanford, and UCLA. But all but one of those games, I believe, was single digits. Then they were 5-0 against other ranked teams. So they're really good.
What would this mean to the program that's won? Hey, let's face it, they're a national championship program. They're a Final Four contender every year. But knowing the story of this year's team, what would it mean for the Irish to make the Elite Eight, knowing, I think it's fair to say, Anthony, before the ACC tournament started, they were labeled as a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, 4, and a week before that, they were a 5.
Wow.
And then I was surprised they got a 2. I thought they'd get a 3. If they got a 3, they might or might not have been with South Carolina, so a 3 wouldn't have been the worst thing necessarily. But I kind of forgot your question.
Just what do it mean to the program knowing all these storylines of this year and the injuries? What would it mean for this program that wins titles and goes to Final Fours just to make the Elite Eight this year?
Well, I think it would be huge. It's going to be impossible unless you match it to ever outdo 2018. And I just talked to Muffet McGraw today and am doing a story on contrasting this team with that team, which also had a ridiculous amount of injuries as well. So you can't top that. But given where they've been the last few years and the fact that they've made an incline each year under Neil, I think it would be huge, and it would continue the momentum going into next season, where Maddie Westfeld still has not said whether she's going to be back. But if she's back and you have Hannah and Olivia together, which is unimaginable, you're going to have Sony back. You got a great freshman coming in Katie Kowal. So if they got to the Elite Eight, and I think that would be a tremendous accomplishment, especially with, you know, everything that they face. And if they get any far beyond that, it'll be all-time memorable, I believe.
Mm. So outside of the big three, Anthony, Hidalgo, Citron, Westbelt, give me one Notre Dame player that might be that X factor against Oregon State on Friday.
Well, I think an X factor is Nat Marshall not getting in foul trouble because, again, Oregon State is really good inside. And I think an X factor as a player, you only got six. You could say anybody, but Anna DeWolf. You talk about two players that have a simpatico. It's kind of cool what Anna, who's a grad student, and Hannah have. There's always one or two plays a game where that they connect on that I don't think any other duo would connect on exactly as they do. So she can be awfully good. And so, you know, hopefully both of them play well and K.K. Bransford plays well. But I think an X factor more than a person, mm-hmm. although it refers to a person, is Nat staying out of foul trouble.
Yeah,
all of them have to stay out of foul trouble, but obviously Nat has to.
Anthony, any stories you want to promote that's coming up in the South Bend Tribune, whether in the paper version or online, as we get set to watch the Irish and Oregon State on Friday?
Well, if it's not posted yet, it will be soon, but that story on Muffet talking to her today, I appreciated doing that, and that will be in print on Friday. And she had some great things to say about, you know, how you go about playing with six players. And among those things, obviously, are one of the advantages is you have players that become more responsible and accountable to each other, and they play a little looser. And she kind of joked a little bit about Marina Mabry in the championship game in 2018 kept committing turnovers. She said she had seven turnovers. Well, I looked it up. She had nine, which is incredible. But she also knew, you know how Marina is edgy personality-wise. She also knew every time Muffet looked down the bench, there was nobody she was going to put in over her. So
yeah.
She knew that, and she just kept playing.
This is going to be very interesting. Albany, New York, the Irish, and Oregon State. If the Irish win, more than likely they would get South Carolina. Otherwise, we'd have a Hoosier State battle between Indiana and Notre Dame. And Anthony Anderson will have you covered in the South Bend Tribune following this Irish team trying to get at least to the Elite Eight in that matchup against South Carolina. Anthony, thank you so much for doing this. Boy, you've got such a fun team to watch, and that freshman is just absolutely incredible. So you get free popcorn, you get free basketball. I mean, you've got it made right now watching this team. So hopefully there's a couple more games you've got to cover for this year's squad.
Yeah, I'm much more enthused about the basketball than the popcorn over there. But thanks. Appreciate it, Darren.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye. That's Anthony Anderson covering the Fighting Irish women's basketball team for the South Bend Tribune. The 2-seed Notre Dame against the 3-seed Oregon State Friday at 2:30 from Albany, New York. You have the opportunity to listen to the game on our sister station Live 99.9 pregame 2:15 game time 2:30. And it sounds like if the Irish win, they would play Sunday at 1:00 in the regional final. That would mean a spot in the Final Four on the line. But that South Carolina team is looming. 6:31 at Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. A day after the NFL passed new rules regarding the kickoff and the controversial hip-drop tackling technique in quest of player safety, the league appears to have backtracked. Since its inception in 06...
You don't know how to play first base. It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
Welcome to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Every time you play one off your hips, you owe me 40 sit-ups. On Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey, you guys, don't throw me anything. My girlfriend put a curse on my glove.
Here's your host, Darren Pritchett.
Get out and gag the ball around the end. You know what that makes you. Hurry.
Lollygag. You better believe it does. 6:38 at WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett. Sports Beat continues on WSBT Radio. Opening day for Major League Baseball is tomorrow. American League predictions, yesterday's program. You can catch them on our podcast. Tonight, let's go through my predictions for the National League. We start in the National League East, where there are some heavy hitters, the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies made the World Series 2 years ago. The Braves, on paper, maybe had the best team in the National League last year, but couldn't get it done in the postseason. In the East, I've got the Braves back on top, winning that division with that terrific offense and steady starting rotation. I've got the Phillies coming in second place. Boy, that offense could be outstanding again this year. Then you've got the other three teams. There's a level between the Braves and Phillies and the next three. I'll put the Mets third, Marlins fourth. They've got a good young starting rotation that they're grooming, but their offense is probably going to come up short. And the Nationals are rebuilding. I've got them in fifth. In the National League West, Ohtani, Yamamoto added to that great Dodger team. I'll go with the obvious, LA winning the National League West, with the Padres adding Dylan Cease to the rotation with Musgrove and Darvish. I think the Padres will come in second. The Diamondbacks just added left-handed starting pitcher Jordan Montgomery to help out with Eduardo Rodriguez on the shelf right now. I'll put the Diamondbacks third, despite going to the World Series last year. Giants fourth, and the Rockies a distant fifth. I'm going to spend more time breaking down the NL Central tomorrow, but general thoughts, the winner of the NL Central, in my opinion, will be the Chicago Cubs. They have, in my opinion, the best roster on opening day. Even though the Reds have some good, young-looking players, right now they're a little banged up, and I'm still not sure about their rotation over a full regular season. I think the Cubs can add at the trade deadline to make this roster even better. Getting Bellinger back is massive. Justin Steele leading that rotation. I've got the Cubs winning the NL Central, but I think only 87 wins will get it done. I don't think Chicago's going to have to win 95. I think 87 might win that division. I've got the young Reds coming in second. I'm putting the Pittsburgh Pirates in third. Brian Reynolds, Kebron Hayes, O'Neill Cruz, a full season of that talented young man. They've got some young pitchers ready to come up. I think the Pirates are going to be a really good team this year. I've got them third. I've got the St. Louis Cardinals coming in fourth because their starting rotation is not going to be good enough. And in fifth place, it was hard to find a place for this team. They could be 2, 3, 4, 5. I've got the Brewers 5. They traded Corbin Burns at the start of the year, and that's your ace. And their offense, I'm just not sure 1 through 9 if it's going to be good enough. Wild cards this year to go along with the Braves, the Cubs, and the Dodgers winning the division. I've got the Phillies, the Padres, and the Reds all making the postseason. So that's a look at the National League regular season. And when we get to the postseason, I've got the Atlanta Braves taking down the LA Dodgers in a massive showdown in the National League Championship Series. So my World Series, according to my predictions, it's really chalky. It's never going to happen. The Baltimore Orioles and the Atlanta Braves. So those are my National League picks. Again, I'm going to go a little more in depth on the NL Central tomorrow. The Cubs are going to be in action down in Arlington, taking on the world champion Texas Rangers. You've got the Chicago White Sox and the Detroit Tigers meeting in the opening series of 2024. So a couple of teams looking to make a push in the AL Central. They'll get their season started tomorrow on the south side of Chicago. All right. Coming up in a moment, we've got our sports wagering segment. We're going to Sizzler. It was a 2-2 night last night. We've got four more picks ready to go. Two happening tonight, one tomorrow, and one over the course of the next 2 days. I'll explain all this coming up in a couple of moments when we return on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on your home of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.